Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonnewell, Julie Hayden here for the
Party Friday.
Party Friday, and Chuck and Julie Grassroots. True straight up.
True straight up.
Brought to you by. I haven't got that one down yet.
I know we're redoing kind of our description and our bios, just basically throwing in the word grassroots more, because I think that sort of describes what we try to do here.
Yeah.
The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness with Dr. Jack Schaefer, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine, also happytrees.co and Denver Synergenics, and Dr. Julie McKellen.
There you go.
So no guests today, so I want to feel free, everyone, to comment, open your mics if you want to. If you're joining us on Zoom, go ahead and put the comments in. We'll have plenty of time to read them. And also, if you want to call in, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. Wanted to start out talking today about Biden. I mean, you know, two bombshells, and hardly ever are bombshells really bombshells. But these were two, I think, significant news announcements. And you got to wonder, are the wheels coming off the Biden bus, or what's exactly going on?
Well, you know, I have checked all day, you know, on CNN and some other places, and they're not being reported there. I know one of the bombshells comes from a CBS, I think, report, but boy, it's not getting
NBC too. I mean, you're right. You can find the stories a little bit, but they're certainly not the headline stories. No. There are, but as we've talked before, does anyone even watch those shows anymore?
Well,
no.
People get their information somewhere. That means if you're on the left and
right.
You know, you wouldn't hear it. I mean,
who cares? Who cares? They kind of come together too. But what we're talking about is yesterday, basically, it was revealed a couple of different things. One, that there is a whistleblower IRS agent whose lawyer is not just an agent, but an investigator whose lawyer is negotiating with Congress so that he can follow all the whistleblower rules and get whistleblower protection and come to Congress to testify, basically, that a high up a Biden administration official is essentially obstructing the investigation into Hunter Biden. NBC is reporting that the investigators, the FBI, they want to file four charges against Hunter Biden: felony tax evasion, the felony illegal gun purchase, and then two misdemeanor charges of evading,
I must admit, I find the felony gun charges.
As always, right, what they've done to cover it up, if they just said, look, Hunter is a crackhead, okay, we all know this, yeah. So, right, Hunter, we're getting him help, but, you know, instead they tried to deny Hunter's in Ireland, you know, being his dad's aide, so, and what their attempted cover-up is worse, and we'll get into that, and then the other thing that kind of goes along with this is a former deputy CIA director, Mike Morrell, testified before Jim Jordan's committee, the weaponization committee, or whatever they're calling it, essentially saying, remember that whole Hunter Biden laptop Russia disinformation letter that the 50 intelligence agencies, which we all knew was bogus to begin with, clearly they were lying about it. Well, it was even more than that. Apparently, Blinken, who was then a big campaign guy for the Biden campaign back in 2020, right?
Yeah.
Now our Secretary of State, so we can totally trust him.
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently reached out to the deputy director of the CIA and said, hey, can you help us come up with a scheme to essentially completely discredit this New York Post story and the Hunter Biden laptop thing? And we're going to leak it to certain reporters in certain ways. And he was like, sure. So,
well, and they also got, I think, four former CIA heads and two of them Republicans. Oh, yeah, sure. We all want to get Biden elected. We don't care what we say.
He openly admitted, and he said, you know, I would have never done that on my own, but when the Biden campaign and he said, since I didn't want Trump to win, obviously implying that he knew if this information got out, it would help Trump Biden,
right,
so they wanted to stifle it. So a ton of
I saw a recent one where they said they all had top secret security ones, and so they could have inquired with the FBI about how they acquired the laptop and maybe even looked at the laptop. They obviously did no due diligence, none.
It appears, really, for our practical purposes, that the campaign wrote the letter and then Morrell circulated the letter within a matter of hours, apparently, to all of these 50 people who signed it, right? So it's like,
I don't care if it's true.
No, talk about rigging an election, but let's go. So Tucker Carlson, as usual, cut straight to the chase, and he says, Merrick Garland, our attorney general, knowingly lied to Congress when we were asking him just last month, so are you guys interfering with this Hunter Biden tax thing at all? And he's like, no.
It's in Delaware, totally separate.
Because I don't even really know where Delaware is.
Does anybody? Come on.
No, Biden is there, but if we could please play the Tucker Carlson soundbite.
Thanks to a career special agent at the IRS who's decided to blow the whistle on the corruption in the Biden administration. This whistleblower has just informed Congress that he has proof that the Attorney General of the United States, Merrick Garland, lied under oath about the Hunter Biden investigation. That's a felony. So the Attorney General of the United States committed a felony, according to this whistleblower, who also says he has seen, quote, preferential treatment and politics improperly infecting decisions and protocols throughout the agency, and that these changes in standard protocol were designed to, quote, benefit the politically connected. So what we've learned here is exactly what you suspected all along. The Biden people are criminals. But Hunter Biden is not in jail. He's making art in his garden in L.A. It's what we're seeing.
It is what it looks like. And so I want to play this too, and then we'll kind of get into a little bit of analysis. This is what Garland actually said last month when they were talking, asking him about this in Congress. If we could please play the Garland soundbite.
I promised to leave the matter of Hunter Biden in the hands of the U.S. Attorney for the District of Delaware. I have pledged not to interfere with that investigation, and I have carried through on my pledge.
Well, apparently not, at least according to the agents who are investigating it, right? And he apparently, and we'll play a little bit of soundbite with the attorneys, but apparently he has the receipts, right? This isn't, you know, just this agent saying, look, it appears to me that Merrick Garland is interfering. Because the wording, how do I say it? We don't know exactly what the whistleblower is going to say because he can't really say it. He needs to make sure he follows all the rules and the protocols and has the protection first, right?
Right.
But there's been enough reporting from sources and things like that, kind of. And as you said, it's not getting big play on NBC or CBS.
Almost none on CNN.
Right. Well, yeah. But that's because they're objective now, Tuck. And this is old news. I mean, didn't we talk about
that? Well, you know, we'll soon get another letter saying the whistleblower's remarks are classic Russian disinformation campaign done through the Russian stooges at the IRS. It's incredible. It's incredible that Merrick Garland, who is really totally weaponized, I mean, far beyond, you know, all these, you know, 15.
Bill Barr was like an angel.
Yeah.
Mueller was an angel compared to.
Yeah, anybody is. I mean, this guy is so corrupt, and he's so corrupted the entire. Wonder where the FBI goes in with 15 guns, with guns, and to arrest some father who
was praying by an outside end of abortion clinic.
It's just amazing, and everybody is guessing that Lisa Monaco is the one who's really behind it all, and Merrick Garland's kind of like
she's
Mueller.
Like an Obama angel, right?
Yeah, the Obama angel doing it all, and she just tells Merrick Garland, that's okay, we're doing everything just by the book.
As Susan Rice said, Barney is saying hopefully no grassy knoll when he testifies. I'm assuming Garland will try to not testify, and he's going to try
that's impossible
when the agent testifies. Well, it appears, and we'll play some sound later with Jim Jordan, that they're working on figuring out how to do that. And I think the lawyer for Hunter Biden has fired back a letter, essentially not really, Chuck, denying it.
No, you never do.
Right. But saying that this guy shouldn't be allowed to testify. And I think they thought, and later on, too, we want to talk about why is all this happening now? Joe Biden's prepared to announce his reelection campaign. I don't know. But you know, he apparently has the receipts, and it's not just him saying, you know, some vague person is vaguely interfering. I mean, he is flat out saying they're obstructing justice, which is a crime, right?
Maybe, but if you're not, if you're a Democrat.
Well, will he ever be prosecuted for it?
Jim Jackson says at least we kept Garland off the Supreme Court. Yeah, politicians up on the Hill have noted that it's incredible. I mean, he had a reputation about as good as you could ever have for an appellate court judge. Everybody sort of loved him. They didn't want him, but man, he's a total crook.
Oh, he is a crook. And Jim Garland, total puke. That is, it's like, and he's a total corrupt puke too, not just a total puke. Well, then here is, and this was not, Brett Baer is not like, I would say, my favorite person.
I mean, he's always, so they bring the lawyer on and he attacks him basically. I mean, he really gives him a, why doesn't your client come out to the light of air?
That's right. Well, let's go ahead and play. So this is, we got a couple of sound bites with the guy's lawyer, Mark Little. And again, the lawyer is explaining that this guy is trying to do this by the book. He's trying to not be political. I wish he would be a little political, but that he wants protection and that there are steps that you have to go through, right? Mm-hmm. And I guess because essentially some of the IRS information is confidential, so he's got to be careful what he does and doesn't say. So I think before we get to that, you're a lawyer. I mean, to me, sometimes lawyers get in the way and they make things worse and they keep stuff from coming out. But in this case, I think it's a smart way to do it. What do you think?
I'm impressed by the lawyer. I mean, I think he comes across as a straight shooter and very good. I mean, I think he's doing a great job.
Okay. Well, what do you guys think? Let's play the Mark Little soundbite number one, please, Thomas.
It contradicts sworn testimony to Congress by senior political appointee. Failure to mitigate clear conflicts of interest and ultimate disposition of this case that you're talking about, and examples of preferential treatment in politics improperly infecting decisions as laid out in this letter. Is there documentation to support this, not just someone saying, this is what I saw, but actual documentation?
Yes, Brett. So my client's a career law enforcement officer who is respected within the IRS, and he teaches other agents how to properly do investigations. He knows when to spot when investigative steps aren't done in the traditional way to get at the truth. And he has spotted and observed things that are done differently in this particular matter, which I can't identify. And he wants to talk about them, and he believes that they were influenced by politics.
And what they're talking about there is the agent through the lawyer wrote a letter to Congress saying, I would like to come forward and talk about this, right?
Right. And he's already revealed it to the IRS. He's already told the IRS, I'm seeking whistleblower protection under these provisions in order to testify about A, B, and C. So it's not like they all don't know who he is.
Well, and what he's saying and things, which is funny. They apparently had the new head of the IRS up on Capitol Hill, and they were asking him about it. And he was like, oh, hey, I've only been here a few weeks.
Yeah, me? That's old news. That's Russian information.
It's not. I'm not sure which way the wind is blowing. I was listening to that and I'm like, oh, give me a break. Like, you're the new head. I mean, I'm sure he's not happy about it. Like, hey, Bill, we've got this whistleblower guy who's talking about how we've totally corrupted the investigation into Joe Biden because Merrick Garland's interfering. And he'd be like, la, 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 don't hear it. Where's the bathroom? You know, where's the coffee machine? I mean, you know, the fact that he hasn't any idea about it. Right. But I think the important thing there is, and in my experience as a reporter, when somebody like that lawyer downplays things as much as he was and is as calm about it, that means it's really bad.
Yes, yes.
Don't you think?
Yes.
It's, if you've really got the goods, you don't have to talk like me, right? Then you talk more like
Chuck.
Like Chuck in your mind, well, not when you're on a rant. But you mean he says, oh, yeah, he does. And, you know, he's a real good guy. So he knows how these things are going, which of course he does. But to me, anyway, I'm listening to the lawyer, and just in my experience, you know, my little spidey sense would say this guy's got the goods. When he says examples of getting preferential treatment.
Well, but do you really have any documents? And not like the thing where somebody heard a call, like Vindman leaked the call and stuff. You know, he didn't say that when Vindman was around, but
right. Well, yeah, Brett.
Where do you have real documents? Not just bullshit.
And the lawyer's like, yeah, we do have real documents. Sorry. And I'm sure when he talks about examples, my guess would be these aren't examples of, you know, Bill just got a slap. I mean, I'm sure he's got emails and exchanges and things
sure
like
he's
that.
Yeah, got the goods. I'd be shocked if he didn't.
And he's not just saying senior officials, which is vague. He's saying a senior official who testified before. Right.
And like, everybody's kind of identified that being Merrick Garland. I mean, it's just. Merrick Garland, other than the fact that the Democrats don't care, and neither does the mainstream media about any truth anymore. I mean, they just don't care.
No.
Merrick Garland would be in a world of hurt.
That's right. Well, and let's play. Here's a second soundbite from the whistleblower's lawyer. If we could play Mark Little number two, please.
Career law enforcement officer who knows the right way to do an investigation, when he hears a senior a politically appointed official at the Department of Justice under sworn testimony say something, and in his mind, it's directly contradictory to what he knows is going on with the investigation.
And what he can prove with documents.
What he can prove with documents, he wants to come forward.
I mean, that's big, right? Like you said, Brett Baird is a piece of crap. He's like, oh, I guess I'm going to have to follow this story. We're going to bury it. But I mean, so that's interesting. So what we've got here is the U.S. Attorney General lying under oath, not about what he's lying about is the fact that he's obstructing an investigation into the president's son.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, so, I mean, how many layers of corruption do you need here? Number one, why are they even investigating? It's like all right there, and we can watch it and see it. I mean, that's not even going into the drug charges. That's not going into the weird potential pedophilia stuff. I mean, there's so much there, right? But you know, so it's like I don't think it would take that long to do an investigation when you get right down to
it was completed over a year ago.
Right.
And so, you know, as somebody else pointed out that said, you know, it really was to Biden's advantage in 2020 to avoid discussion of the subject and everything else. Now, what they should do, being Democrats, is make a couple minor charges and then meet a plea deal. Which gets no jail time, but gets extra time to do art or something. Yeah, throw the buck at him.
Well, and here's the thing. Let's not forget sort of the underlying thing here is, why does Hunter Biden have tax problems in the first place? The guy is a bad artist crackhead, right? Who is into self-pornography. So why does he have all this money to begin with that he has tax problems? Keep in the whole thing, and we're learning more about this, it's a money-raising scheme using, you know, they're selling influence to Joe Biden and access to Joe Biden.
The whole family's selling.
The whole family is. And that's
cousins, first cousins.
That's what they don't want anyone to hear anything about, right? I think in the overall scheme of things, no one particularly cares that whether Hunter Biden did or didn't file his taxes on time. And of all the crimes, like you said, the purchasing the gun and lying and saying I'm not a drug addict because he's snorting cocaine or smoking crack. But the point is that the reason all of this matters is because of the Biden organized crime family, right? You've got them extorting Chinese. You've got them in Ukraine. You've got them all over the place.
Well, the fact they didn't sign as a foreign registered agent, which is what they did to all the Trump people. They threw them in jail. They threw the book at them.
Right.
They threw the book at them. And, you know, another one throwing our legal system is going off the rails. And in Virginia, they indicted some guy because he carried a tiki torch in the 2017 Charlottesville one, and they won't give him bail.
Yeah.
I mean, and because he released fiery substances in order to intimidate people.
Right.
I mean, you know, you would think the statute of limitation to run over a 2017 event. And now they're just in the judges going, no, I can't trust you.
You've got this totally corrupt Biden family. You've got Merrick Garland running interference, and not just running interference, but openly, according to this whistleblower, obstructing the investigation. Apparently, according to NBC, there are frustrated FBI agents, people out there who I think are maybe kind of like the original, the Anthony Weiner laptop, right? Where all of a sudden people are like, why are we not investigating in this? And there are apparently two or three good FBI agents who kind of threaten to come forward. So if that all, well, at least if there's comments here. Jacob, the Kerry Lake meeting Mika and Joe is pretty funny. So Barney says, sorry, neither one of my Biden voodoo dolls work with the damn Pokemon needles. Oh, one poops in his pants and the other one just mumbles. No, they're working. Right? So then on top of that, then the other bad thing that happened for the Biden bus is a former deputy CIA director under Trump.
Mike Morrell. I don't think he was.
I guess he was in this interim period, wasn't he? Yeah. No, it was before the election. So he would have to have been under Trump. It was before 2020.
But I think he was further back. But I mean, I don't know.
Okay. At any rate, he was the deputy director at the time when they called him. It's my understanding. Yeah. If I'm wrong, guys, correct me. So if it was doing.
No, he was not. I don't think he was active. They're all of them were retired.
Okay, that I'm not sure about. Okay, but at any rate, what happens is, remember back there in October of 2020, really close to the election, presidential debates, the New York Post and other news organizations.
No, it's the New York Post that broke the story.
They broke the story, but I mean, this laptop stuff had been kind of rumbling around in the background, right? But the New York Post put it all together, Miranda Devine, and said basically, you know, that this was Hunter Biden's laptop and there was all kinds of bad stuff on it. So immediately then they started attacking everybody, saying, you know, they wouldn't, Leslie Stahl wouldn't report, wouldn't let Donald Trump talk about it.
Oh, we should have got it. We'll get that one for Monday, where she says, we can't put that kind of garbage on this. It's unverified. It's, you know, we can't do that. We are 60 Minutes.
But, and so in the meantime, then the Biden administration, again, the Biden campaign is worried about this. So what do? They call Mike Morrell, Anthony Blinken, our current Secretary of State, calls up this CIA deputy director and says, you know, look, we got to come up with some way to deal with this. So like, we're going to write a letter saying it's Russia disinformation and you get as many people in the intel community that you can think of to sign it. And we'll just put that out there. And then with the cooperation of the corrupt media, we'll squash the whole thing. It'll make Donald Trump look like an idiot.
Right.
And so Mike Morrell says, okay.
No problem.
And so he does.
With you know, various ones being former CIA directors.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
who were Republicans.
Everybody was on this list.
I mean, talk about the swamp hitting out. Oh, I mean, all 50.
And the whole point of it, they even orchestrated which reporters to leak this letter to and which ones to send it to. So they could then use this as a fake pressure on the media to not report the story. Like they couldn't have just asked them nicely. And so that there was this whole fake narrative, which of course we've seen before, using the deep state to create a narrative to feed the media. And it worked because Biden was able to use this letter to shut down during the debate any kind of talk about it. This was back from in October of 2020, right after the New York Post ran the story. And then the letter came out. And look how Biden uses his own letter, the letter that his campaign wrote, to shut down Trump during the debate. If we could please play the Biden debate soundbite.
50 former national intelligence folks who said that what this he's accusing me of is a Russian plan. They have said that this is has all the character. Five former heads of the CIA, both parties, say what he's saying is a bunch of garbage.
You mean the laptop is now another Russia hoax?
And that's exactly it. What
is this
that's
where
exactly
you're
what
this is
told.
Where he
the audacity of that lie, right? I mean, that's just incredible. Biden knew, he had to have known, that his campaign people reached out, wrote the letter, got a bunch of these intel guys to sign it, used Mike Morrell to put it out. And Mike Morrell says, you know, I would have never done it on my own, but Blinken called me and I wanted Biden to win. So I did it, which also implies that they knew that it would help Trump.
Which, well, I mean, but there
have been surveys where people have they known, but I mean, Morrell acknowledges that they knew that this would be hurtful. I kind of wonder, because I don't know the media would have done it.
Can I say something? I sent you an email last night. How right after the Fox News settlement comes out, all of a sudden this report comes out that Mike Morrell is admitting, yeah, we did this and that. I was listening to Mark Simone this morning. I think he was a guest of yours, and he had a guest. I can't remember the guy's name, but he says this opens the door for Trump to sue the government on the fake Russia deal. Because now he says, well, if they can lie to, you know, if they can lie about Dominion, then I guess the government can lie about Trump.
Yes.
And that really opens the door. I think Murdoch made a settlement because he knows that there's information out there through the skiff. They were talking about this too, the skiff room when Trump was in, you know, the skiff room during the election.
When they listen
and
to
the skiff room and they see what's going on the wire, on the internet and everything. He probably saw, well, this is my opinion, he probably saw what Dominion was manipulating. And they wouldn't let that into the courtroom because the army, the military wouldn't let that out. But maybe the military will let that out when Donald Trump sues the government.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The Dominion lawsuit, and you, as you actually also point out too, that Mike Morrell used to be a CBS network correspondent and now a contributor. There is, and we've talked about this a little bit before in the show, and some thought that, you know, the premise of the lawsuit was that you could be sued for guests putting out disinformation. Right. And if that's true, I mean, you're right. Everything they put out about, you could sue them for COVID. You could sue them for the Russia hack. You could sue a hoax. You could sue them for all kinds of stuff. And I think now the problem is they settled. So we don't have that precedent, right?
No. But they settled.
Yeah.
They settled, but that opens the door. So now CBS has got to explain why Leslie Stahl said, we can't. All right. I think they were all knee deep in this. I think they knew it. I think they knew the lie.
Right.
And they were covered. But now that Fox, you know, says, listen, Dominion was slandered or.
Libeled.
You know, whatever. But not even libeled. What's the other term?
Malice.
Malice. Now we're showing malice. This is going to come back, I think, really on Leslie Stahl.
I hope so, because
I have to say it never seems to. It never seems to go the other way. Ever goes the other way. I mean, you know, all the claims of hoaxes and so forth, and it doesn't stop them in the least.
No,
they're happy to lie. And you just saw Joe Biden, you know, somewhat convincingly. Say this is all garbage, and he was just lying.
It's still dossier, right? The Clinton campaign hires somebody to put together a fake dossier that they then leaked to the media and used to try to discredit Trump. They're like, hey, that worked before. Let's make up this CIA thing. No, it is. Well, let me play another couple of sound bites. So thank you for pointing that out. So Laura Ingraham had Jim Jordan on. She's just happy not to have to talk about Trump DeSantis, I think. But and he gives a little bit more light on it. If we could please play the Jim Jordan number one.
Is it worth asking first whether the attorney general himself may be in some legal jeopardy here on the question of obstruction of justice, given what we learned from NBC News and others tonight?
Yeah, we'll have to see. What we do know, Laura, is what you said. This has been political from the get-go. Clear back to the Morrell situation when the story came out on October 14th, 2020 about the Biden business operation and was then Vice President Joe Biden involved. There was some concern that he was. And then quickly it turns into this political operation. That letter that became the basis for suppressing the story and keeping it from the American people just days before the most important election we have, election for president of the United States. So understand what happened, Laura. The 14th, the Post does a story. The 17th, Tony Blinken, senior advisor to the Biden campaign, current Secretary of State, contacts Mike Morrell, gets him interested in this. Mike Morrell looks at it the next day, organizes on the 18th. All these other people to sign the letter. The 19th, the letter goes out. And then on the 22nd, the reason Mike Morrell said he did the letter was he thought President Trump would bring the issue up during that debate on the 22nd of October. And of course he did. And they wanted some statement that Joe Biden could use. Because as Mr. Morrell said, they wanted him to win.
Yeah,
and what happens on the 22nd?
Yeah.
Joe Biden brings it up. And then after that debate, here's the kicker. Steve Ricchetti, chair of the Biden campaign, calls up Mike Morrell and thanks him for doing it all. It was a total political operation. And the most important fact is, Laura, it was false. It wasn't Russian disinformation. Yeah. The laptop story looks to be true.
Well, just...
Well, I mean, and there you get, when you look at about the possible criminal activity, the intent. Morrell acknowledges that the intent was to try to prevent Trump from winning. The intent was to interfere in the election. I don't know how you get much more intent than that,
well,
right?
Well, but see, everything is intent to interfere with an election.
That's flat out. He flat out says.
Well, then they know that. But so I suppose Trump could sue him but it'd be hard because, you know, they hid it very well. So the earmarks. Not they didn't say trust in information.
Oh, it has the earmarks. They're going to try to charge Trump with interfering with elections and things like that. Oh, that's okay. That's right. He's Trump. I mean, but here you got the guy flat out saying, yes, our entire intent was to interfere with the election. Oh, and by the way, it worked. And Jim Jordan, Well, who needs Dominion? Well, I guess you need them all. And then Jim Jordan kind of goes into a little bit more detail about this. If we could play the Jim Jordan soundbite number two, please.
This is ridiculous.
It sure was. But the way the then Vice President Biden did it was, he made it seem like it was organic. Understand, it was choreographed all the way. And understand this too. It wasn't just their names on that letter, on that statement. It was their names and their title. Former head of ODNI, former CIA director. That gave it this feeling and this impression that it was. Yeah, this imprimatur that it was accurate when it wasn't. And that's the scariest thing of all. And that letter became the basis for keeping this information from the American people. And the other thing that was important we learned in that deposition with Mr. Morrell is Mr. Morrell was even trying to direct who the Biden campaign told him who to get this to in the media. It was that coordinated.
Oh, well,
that's the scary
part. No, well, they're all very, you know what it reminds me of, Congressman? The letter that was choreographed, or the article that was choreographed about the origins of COVID. Remember Fauci and Collins? All those guys got on that call. Okay, you write it. We're going to put it out there. And then the media runs with it. It's the same game. They run this game, I don't know how many times a year, but they run it consistently when it's a political question that they want to resolve in their favor. This happens time and again.
You're right. Just let the American people decide who we want representing us, who we want leading us, who we want to elect into office. Finger on the scale. Just out of it, let we the people decide.
Look what happened in 2016 when they let the people decide. Donald Trump got elected. Well, but Laura Ingraham brings a good point up. We have seen this over and over again. We saw it in the Russia hoax, right? They make up all of this stuff. The deep state makes it up. They feed it to certain reporters who know that it's not true.
And then Justice Department uses the reports to convince we have all these independent reports of skullduggery, and therefore it's
a dossier. We cite it in warrants, even though we know that it's a lie. Like she said, we've seen it with COVID, right? I mean, some of that's kind of fallen apart. Now the CDC is trying to sort of redefine all kinds of stuff and said, well, we never said it, you know, because we don't have to get vaccines anymore, basically. And they're like, well, I never said you did. Well, we kind of did, but I mean, we've seen how they've done this over and over again, where the deep state, acting to support one political candidate and hurt another political candidate, creates this fake stuff, puts it out there, and then uses that to continue.
That's evidence.
It is like she says, they play this over and over again. And then Jim Jackson, how in the world could 50 former Intel people attest to a document they hadn't seen? Exactly. They didn't need to see it, right? And you'd think you're a former Intel guy, you would like want to take a day or two to think about it, right? But instead, you know, it's
10 minutes.
Right.
Trump.
Exactly. And you know, we look at the kinds of things they're doing to Trump now.
Right.
They're not gonna stop. Hopefully it won't work any better. But which kind of brings me to my other question. I want to get all your guys' thoughts on this. And again, you can unmute yourself or you can comment or call in 888-627-6008. Why now? What? Because you're right, it hasn't got a ton of coverage, but CBS, Catherine Herridge did do a report on this. How does she of course didn't mention that Leslie Stahl wouldn't let Donald Trump talk about it. They don't mention that. But what is going on that all of a sudden this whistleblower is coming forward? There is some reporting
The Fox case settled. And that's what some people are speculating, saying, because they didn't want to help Fox with that. And
how do you mean? Well, because that's what Jacob was saying too.
Yeah, well, it's true. They wanted to wait for a time in which, if the news got out, it wouldn't affect other deals that were going on. So they, if it came out that Biden was this and that, that would hurt Dominion's lawsuit, because the average person would hear about it and go, wait a minute, there was something wrong.
With the election.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't know. Maybe. I think, but they could have still just ignored it. I guess my bigger question is, maybe I should have put it wrong. Not why is it coming out now? Why is it coming out at all? The same group of people that basically lied for, you know, for 2 years now about the laptop and knew that they were lying are now turning around and reporting on Mike Morrell saying that the whole letter was orchestrated. And why not just bury it? Why not just tell Catherine? I mean, remember, these are the same people who the NBC reporter who told the truth about Paul Pelosi and what happened there, like was disappeared, right?
Right.
So why not say to Catherine, oh, I think you're not feeling good. It's time for a sabbatical, right? I mean, that's what I got to wonder is, if you're Biden, I would think he's wondering, why are there these people talking? Why, I mean, what's Mike Morrell's motivation? I mean, couldn't he just...
Corrupt.
No, but I know his corrupt and motivation for doing it in the first place, but what's his motivation for telling the truth now, do you think?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I think I know. Then if you want to speculate, I will.
Okay.
I think that, one, somebody somewhere has been putting all this together, right? I mean, it wasn't like a coincidence that they called Mike Morrell, right? So somebody somewhere knew to call Mike Morrell in the first place. And I suspect that Mike Morrell at some point decided he wasn't going to go down with the ship, right? Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to lie. Now, he could have just said, don't remember, busy, I'm fighting the subpoena. I mean, he didn't do that. I got to still wonder, I mean, you know, there's all this talk about Biden's going to announce his reelection campaign begins next week. I wonder if there are still deep state forces that want Biden out of there.
You know, I think that's a reasonable assumption, that this is a way of trying to pressure Biden to not to run. But, you know, bring it out, don't publicize it too much, but have him going. But of course, if he does that, then he no longer has a block on the Justice Department where he can just lie, steal and cheat with the head of the Department of Justice. I mean, the level of corruption, somebody wrote that the Biden family is the goat of political corruption, the greatest of all time.
It's true.
And the whole family is involved in it. And, you know, Biden.
The Clintons look like amateurs. Oh. I'm sure the Clintons are like, my God, like, how could we not have seen all this going on? Hillary is like, Bill, you schmuck. You know, she's into Chelsea. You get to work. Look at Biden. You know, he's getting 10%. Joe's getting 10%. Well, from Jim Jackson, they know they don't have a chance with Sleepy Joe and Knee Pad Girl in 2024. And from Jacob, Murdoch's a very smart businessman. Let's see what the future holds. The $787 million is petty cash to Fox. And then Jacob was talking, maybe the whistleblower from the IRS. And then, as always, Julie, you're right. Yeah, I think that.
Who said that?
Jacob.
No.
My favorite.
Jacob.
No. But I mean, I think I just, because I was looking at this and I thought to myself, okay, all of a sudden did this Intel bureaucrat, the IRS bureaucrat, and the news media all grow a conscience and develop ethics at the same time?
You know, that's
and I'm like, well, that's probably not what happened.
No.
So you got to ask yourself why. And one of the reasons I think this was so damaging is it all came out kind of within the same day or two, right?
Uh-huh.
And so it makes it even, you know, like Laura Ingraham says, bombshell, two bombshells. And I'm pretty sure that you know, Merrick Garland didn't orchestrate it. And
see, Barney has it correctly.
What's he say?
Jacob, you dummy. Chuck is always right.
That's what I'm saying. He's reading these comments.
Excellent, Barney. Excellent.
But anyway, I just think something is up. And I'm not really sure what it is. And I think at some level, though, it has to be tied, because these same organizations that were totally happy to lie and knowing they were lying and say the laptop is Russia disinformation are now reporting that it was organized by the Biden campaign. I mean, they could have just shut up, right? Mike Morrell could have just said, I'm busy or delayed or something, or just said, I don't remember. I mean, what do we see Fauci? He never remembers anything, right? I mean, it could have been that kind of testimony. Instead, he gives them all the goods. Now, maybe they had it in another way, like I said, and he wasn't going to go down with the ship, but I don't know how they would have done that.
Well, now they're going to get all the other 50, and they're probably all saying, yeah, Mike Morrell called me.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, and, you know, What's kind of depressing about it is, imagine if like 6 years ago this had come out, right? People would be shocked and stunned. Now it's kind of like, oh, the government's corrupt. You know what I mean? It's like, what level of corruption? But like you said, when you look at it, the level of corruption here that the attorney general himself is obstructing an investigation into the president's son and all of the shady, corrupt, illegal business dealings of the Biden organized crime family, right? That's what they're obstructing. And in the meantime, when they're trying to talk about, you know, when you say the election was rigged, you're interfering with the election, right? You can be charged with treason and can't, you know, do this or that. What they are actively doing, the Biden campaign, is calling up these people and faking a letter, putting out something they know is a lie. And as Laura Ingraham says, they've been doing this for a while, you know?
Well, you know, the question I always have is, human nature has always been the same. And so it's interesting to look for parallels going back. But I have to admit, I don't think there are parallels in United States history for this level of.
No, I mean, Teapot Dome. I mean, you think of
Teapot Dome.
That was just financial.
Well, and it didn't involve the president. It involved some people in his cabinet, but it did not involve the president. Here, the president's the leader of the corruption. I mean,
at least he was. Here, from this is okay. So back for Chuck, you dummy. Chuck is always right. And then Jacob says, the right side of Julie. And then Barney says, but we love Julie more than Chuck. And then Jacob says, Julie, I think you're right. Someone has been collecting all of this. Maybe the truth will come out about the murder of the Clinton campaign person, Seth Rich. Oh, yeah, I keep thinking we need to do a show on that, too. Exactly. You know, so you've got this. Look at all the stuff the FBI is doing that's corrupt. Do we think they would bury the murder? He was murdered, right? And no one's been charged. Nothing's ever happened. We have any done. Fox settled with them too, by the way, or backed off because of them. You know, you would think, no, that's a step too far, but look what they were happy to kill millions of people during COVID, right? With stuff that they knew was a lie and caused all kinds of problems. They don't care.
I mean, there's never been a presidency this bad. I mean, yeah, you could say Buchanan, you know, would help start the Civil War, but there's never been one that's just so destructive. And, you know, at least Obama would pretend that he was, you know, covering the border.
He wrote the note. Once you left, we did everything by the book.
Book, yeah.
Every guy to whom it may concern. These guys don't even bother with that, right?
No, they got a new book.
Well, and here's the thing. The book is not going to, I mean, I think Biden is interchangeable, right? Whoever, for these people.
Fetterman. Now we can get Fetterman in there.
Yeah, now that he's back. So, and here's just another way they've weaponized it. And this is, I don't know if you guys have followed this development, because I've been saying for a long time that one of the reasons they keep talking about disinformation and it's a threat to democracy is they want to make it a crime, right? They want to make it a crime to put out something that they call disinformation.
Well, that charge of the people down in Virginia walking around with a torch, which there was some Ku Klux Klan statute that was supposed to prevent people from burning crosses or something, but they just said, oh, okay, let's charge them that. No problem. And they will never get out of jail because we'll say they're a danger to the community. And they've been out for what, 6 years, and now they're a danger to the community and they can't get bail. I mean, Democratic judges don't believe in bail for anybody, Republicans.
Except for criminals and Republicans. Criminals. Well, and what's going on so Matt Taibbi is one of the freelance reporters who broke a lot of stuff on the Twitter files, particularly about the arrangement that the deep state had with Twitter, then Twitter, not under Elon Musk, to go ahead and censor and monitor and run surveillance on Twitter accounts that weren't following their preferred narrative. So he did a ton of stories about that, and he testified about it to Congress. And it's a little confusing, but there are two government agencies, a CISA, which is a federal agency, and a CIS, which is essentially not a federal agency, but it works like this with a federal agency, right? And in a tweet, not in testimony, but apparently in a tweet, he confused them and then immediately corrected it. And then, follow me here. But then an MSNBC reporter tried to make it sound like that's how he testified to Congress, which is not true. Okay.
Well, what does that matter?
But the bottom line is, a Democrat congressional representative said we should throw Matt Taibbi in jail for lying to Congress for perjury. And Matt Taibbi, he was putting out stuff yesterday saying, normally I'd think this was like a joke. He said, but not anymore. He's like, I got three kids. He said, I think I'm in some kind of weird alternative world where, number one, if, even if I did say it, it would have been just an error. It wasn't perjury. I mean, CISA, CIS, he's like, they're exactly the same. Number two, I didn't say it in testimony. And she wants to throw me in jail based on something that's not true. And no one is saying to her, that's all extreme. Don't you think? I mean, none of the Democrats are popping up and saying, yeah, but that's not even true. Right. I mean, he didn't commit perjury. I mean, and like, he's like, I feel bad for some of these liberal reporters. So now all of a sudden.
You think they care? You think one of them cares? You think that MSNBC person cares? No.
Oh, no, they don't care. And nor does that congresswoman. She'd be happy to throw him in jail, right? Because that would teach the rest of that might throw, you know. I mean, so that's a thing I think we have to be careful of. And like you said, we've never seen anything this corrupt, but nor it goes way beyond corruption. We have never seen anything. I mean, frankly, if we were to find out that they arrested Matt Taibbi, would you be shocked at that? No.
I'm the brag will bring the charges.
Right. Yeah, exactly. This is from Jacob. Party Friday story. I went to the dealership to get an oil change. The mechanic said he was about an hour behind. I said, okay, went to the lounge. I met someone who's 72. I asked, weren't you 25 when you dropped off a car? That would be a delay. and this from Barney, then back. She's commenting about Sandra earlier said, all of Biden's administration are corrupt. Look at Mayorkas, Janet Yellen, all of them. And Sandra says, and Barney says, don't forget the leftover Bush scum. Sandra says, absolutely. And then Barney says, no logs from Child Molester Island. Oh, that's right. And nor can we see the manifesto. Here's another kind of feel good Party Friday thing, because I've been enjoying this. So on Twitter, they had a thing where if you were verified by the Twitter scum, this is the Twitter elite, then you got like a blue check, right?
Actresses would get that. Yes. Politicians.
And it was sort of saying if you were like famous, it was like, this is, we have verified that this actually is.
Yeah, you're famous.
What difference does, because it would be pretty easy to tell if it wasn't them. Well, maybe not. But at any rate, so that Twitter gave that. Under Elon Musk, now that he's not getting probably as much government subsidy and the FBI isn't paying him $3 million to run surveillance on citizens anymore, he's trying to turn it into a profit. So he charges $8 for a blue check, is what it's called, right? Uh-huh. I pay it. Not that I care whether we're verified or not, but I'm happy to contribute to this kind of free speech platform, right? If it goes away, I think we're all in trouble. So I'm happy to contribute. But as of yesterday, Elon Musk removed the blue Twitter, the blue check mark from everybody who wasn't paying their $8, right? And actresses and actors and everybody's freaking out about
it.
Stupid people are saying, oh, I'm not going to be on Twitter if I can't have a blue check. And they're like, how can all those stupid people have blue checks? They're not even elite. How on earth can how can Chuck and Julie have a blue tweet for pizza or blue check mark? So what did Elon Musk wrote? I think this is very funny. So all this actress, one of those annoying Alyssa Milano or one of those annoying actresses who never has been in a movie but is woke, so people quote her. She's saying that she was complaining about it, and all these people were saying, you're so brave for saying this. And it's like, whatever. She goes, so now people can just pretend they're me and I'm going to sue Elon Musk for libel. Nice try. But Elon Musk tweeted out, we've started a quote, save a celebrity fund to pay their $8. It's like, that's how seriously we take this. And it's like, you know, I mean, again, these elite people, they're like, beside themselves that other people who are not elite like them are going to get a blue check, like it really mattered in the first place, right?
Well, you're the one that's on Twitter. Would you see the blue check?
Yeah, so it will have their name and a little blue check. Okay. And what what that meant was they felt that they were special. I mean, you know, that they were so big and so popular that, you know, they had to be verified. And it was the official stamp of approval from Twitter, right? That you can trust this account, right? And they are appalled that anyone, I mean, and it's not
anyone,
but you pay your $8 and then Twitter verifies that it actually is you, right? I mean, that's part of it. But yeah, anyone, you pay your $8, you get a blue check.
I don't blame the actors and actresses. I mean, my God.
Well, how can they be special, Chuck?
They are special by their very...
If everyone can get a blue check...
Then no one should get the blue check.
Get the blue check, and they are leaving Twitter, you know? It's like NPR. If you're going to continue to describe us as
government-controlled media...
government-funded, and it's like, but you are government-funded. It says right on your website.
They
it's
did
like,
that for Canadian broadcasting. They said, we're under 70%. Okay, 69% government-funded.
It's fun to watch. If you don't go on Twitter, it just kind of, you can like check the hashtag, you know, or search blue check, because they're freaking out about it, because all of their blue checks today are gone.
Gone, gone, gone.
And they are not going to pay $8. It's like, you know. So I love that Musk is like, we'll start to save a celebrity fund.
I don't know how, you know, every group these days goes down the drain, whether lawyers, accountants, I mean, it doesn't really matter, but hitting the bottom is Hollywood. I mean, everybody just hates them. I mean,
well, and like,
and they love themselves so much.
And the New York Times is all in a Twitter about it and saying, we have to pay for this out of our own pocket.
Oh.
It's like, no, you don't. I mean, you're an idiot. If you know what I mean? It's clearly a business expense. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. So that's just kind of fun to watch. And yes, yes. Mm-hmm. We did. I mean, I do every month. We get the bill, and you know, but again, it's just, it's $8, so give me a break, all you rich celebrities. That's going to wrap it up for us this Party Friday. We have a great show coming up on Monday.
Yeah, we're going to have the head of the Rocky Mountain Gun Owners on.
Well,
yeah.
Great victory.
I mean,
Republicans, hundreds of them showed up to testify against the assault rifle ban, and it was killed,
and it had nothing to do with them showing up. It's all Polis.
Still will take
Polis wanting to run for president and didn't want to have that tagging him. So he told them, hey,
but
get
we'll
of it.
Take that. And then also Brian Dundup had a great column on AI. And I'll tell you all, I've been doing more AI research. And I don't know if you need to be worried or not. So we'll see what you guys think too. But anyway, that'll wrap it.
No, don't worry about it. No, it's okay.
Here's your choices.
AI has taken Julie over. I mean,
don't worry. Just, it's Party Friday. Have a drink.
Party Friday.
Either AI is going to destroy humanity,
uh-huh,
and destroy the world, or
we'll destroy.
You don't need to be worried about it. It's somewhere.
Somewhere between there.
Well, there's not really an in between. It's one or the other.
Yeah.
But it's Party Friday.
Party Friday, and AI says, "Go out and have fun."
There you
go. That's what we're going to go do.
All right. See you guys on Monday. Thank you,
bye-bye,
everybody.
Bye.